Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. We've already been on this for over a month. I'm now in the last section of this, talking about how you can fulfill God's will. And yesterday I used Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, where it says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." There's lots of people that start out following God's will, but then they don't ever fulfill it because we have an adversary. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may destroy. You know, the moment you find God's will for your life and you start obeying God, you start all kinds of things in the unseen realm going. One of them is that God starts using you and blessing you and doing things. But we have an adversary, old Slewfoot, that comes against us, and he's going to do everything he can to stop you. If you never run into the devil, it's because you're both headed in the same direction. If you turn around and start going against the flow and following God's will, I guarantee you there is going to be resistance. It is naive. It is extremely naive to believe that if you are following God's will, that everything's just going to be perfect and that there's going to be no opposition. The Apostle Paul said, "A great and an effectual door is opened unto us, and there are many adversaries." It was very clear that Paul was following God's will, but Satan was fighting against him. And if you start following God's will, you are going to encounter the devil, and Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy you. But the good news is that he can't do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. He can't just overwhelm you on his own. You, first of all, like I was sharing yesterday out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says you get weary and you faint in your mind. Satan can put obstacles in your path. Satan can come against you. He's got more than enough people serving him to criticize you, to come against you and do all kinds of things. Just because you are following God does not going to mean that you never have a problem in your life. Matter of fact, it's probably just the opposite. You're going to have possibly more problems because you're going to have demonic opposition. The devil's not trying to, you know, give the people that are his best servants a hard time because, man, they're doing him a service. But those who are coming against his kingdom are the ones that he's fighting against. And so you are going to have opposition. But none of those things that come against you can destroy you unless you get weary and faint in your mind, is what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 is talking about. So if you're going to fulfill God's will, you're going to have to learn how to control your thinking. You're going to have to learn how to keep yourself encouraged. You are going to have to get to where you do not look on external things. I tell you, there is pressure in this world. But if you have an equal or greater pressure on the inside of you, the pressure, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit, it overwhelms any problem that comes against you. But if you've got a vacuum on the inside, that's the way that Satan is able to come against you. You know, I've used this example before, but it's a great example for me. But when I was in the sixth grade, my sixth grade teacher, Jimmy Williamson, he took a 1 gallon gas can, metal gas can, heated it on a Bunsen burner, got it very hot, and then immediately put the lid on that thing and sealed it tight. And then he just set that 1 gallon gas can on a table right in front of me. I was sitting on the front row, and he set it on his desk, and then he went about his teaching. And did you know, as that thing cooled down, cold air occupies less volume than hot air. So as the thing cooled down, the air inside of that gas can shrunk, formed a partial vacuum, and that thing began to pop and crack, and it eventually bent in two, fell over on the floor, and not a single person touched it. All that was happening was that the normal atmospheric pressure crushed that can. And of course, there was a lesson in that that he was teaching us. But my point is that, see, this is the same thing with us. There is pressure in this world. We live in a fallen world. You're going to have things come against you. You cannot stop problems from coming. But the only reason that they will overcome you and crush you is if there is a vacuum on the inside. If you aren't letting God just fill you and control your thinking and do things, then these normal, everyday things that attack every single person that lives on the face of the earth, they will crush you. You know, I'm reading an article right now in this magazine about warriors and all of the PTSD that people have. And anyway, they are saying that it is greater than any of the previous wars, and they're trying to come up with it in just a genetic, physical, natural way to deal with it. They're saying that it's all a DNA. There's a genetic disposition to all of this kind of stuff. And you know what? I'm not an authority on all of this, but I really believe, I've been through war, and I really believe that a lot of all of this PTSD is not the things without. People have been in war since the beginning of time. I personally know many people, you know, my elders, when I first started seeking the Lord, many of them had been through World War II and described things that were just horrendous. And yet they didn't have the same problems that people coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan have today. And I don't believe that people have somehow or another, you know, de-evolved since that time. What it is, it's the way that our society has this vacuum on the inside. We have a moral vacuum. We do not have a consciousness and awareness of God. That's the reason that there's so much more suicide today than there used to be, because used to, people wouldn't kill themselves. They knew that if they ended this life, man, they were just stepping into another life that by taking their own life, they could be sending themselves to hell, and they didn't want to do that. And it kept people from doing that. But now people are losing this consciousness of God, and because of it, they're just committing suicide. They're going out and doing these mass murders and killing themselves, thinking that they have escaped and that somehow or another nobody can prosecute them. If they had an awareness of God, things like that wouldn't be happening. They would know that they are going to stand before the true judge, the great judge that's going to reward them for what they've done. But see, people, it's the moral vacuum that's on the inside that's causing us to cave today. And I'm saying all of these things about how do you fulfill God's will in your life. It's one thing to find it, start in that direction, but you are going to have opposition. And how do you deal with this opposition? You've got to get to where the power and the presence of God on the inside of you is greater than these external physical things that you're dealing with. And I know that a lot of people don't think this way, but I'm telling you that this is the truth. On our program yesterday, I just mentioned this briefly, but I wanted to turn back over here to 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had been anointed to be king 13 years prior to this instance listed right here. He went out and killed Goliath. Saul, the present king at that time, became jealous of him and started persecuting him. Saul actually gave his daughter to David to be his wife, but then he took David's wife and his daughter away from David and gave her to another man just to hurt David. And then he pursued him and tried to kill him, and there was a number of times that he nearly killed him. After 13 years of having nothing but bad things happen to him, there wasn't any indication that God's will was coming to pass in David's life. At the end of this time, he and his 600 men came back to this city, Ziklag, that they lived in, and they found out that the Amalekites had invaded, had conquered the whole place, burnt everything, stole everything that was of value, took the women, the children, all the gold, silver, good garments, anything that was of value, burnt the rest. He had nothing. He was in shambles. And it says that David lifted up his voice and wept until he had no more power to weep. That's 1 Samuel 30, verse 4. And then on top of all of this, his men, who he had protected, he fed them. They were all people who had fled from prosecution in the nation of Israel, and they had come to David for refuge. He had taken care of these guys, and he was doing all of these things for him. His own men blamed him for all of their troubles, and they spoke of stoning David. Look at this in verse 6. It says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." Man, that's a bad situation. 13 years of nothing but bad. David had personally lost his own wives, his own children, all of his possessions. He had lost every single thing. And now the guys who he had been responsible for and had been protecting them and doing all this, they were going to kill him. I don't think you could come up with a scenario that was much worse than that. Some of you think you got it really bad. And I'm not saying that you don't have problems, but I believe David had it worse than any of us. If you could just somehow or another use your imagination and put yourself into this situation. But look at this. In the last part of that verse, after all these terrible things, it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." You know, most people, again, it goes back to this thing I was saying about the vacuum in this can and the atmospheric pressure crushed it. Most people have a vacuum of trust in God. Most people's relationship with God does not equal or exceed the pressures and the things that are out here. And most people would have just crumbled under this situation. Most people would have given up. Matter of fact, if you were to have psychiatrists come along and if they were evaluating this situation, they would say, "David is in denial. David is not dealing with this. He's not taking time to grieve." And I guarantee you, our world is messed up. If you haven't realized it yet, we live in a screwed up world. The way people think is crazy. It is absolutely crazy. David did the right thing here. When he was under this extreme pressure, most people would give up and feel justified and actually feel that something's wrong with me if I don't give up and if I don't just let these things destroy me. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And how did he do it? It says in the next verse, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod." Which the ephod, it was a piece of the garments that the priest wore. It was the way that they inquired of God. The comparable of this to us today is that he took the word of God and he began to take, "God, what do you have to say?" And he used God's word to encourage himself in the Lord. If you are going to fulfill God's will for your life, you're going to have to get to where you put the word of God in you. And it builds a relationship and a trust with God that is greater than any of the pressures that Satan brings against you. And we need to quit comparing ourselves with other people. We need to quit looking around to this secular world. Sad to say, most Christians are just as plugged into the secular world as people that don't even know the Lord. And that's terrible. But then beyond that, you can go to most churches today, most Christian leaders today, and all they're doing is preaching, you know, this mind stuff. And it's just about philosophy type of things. And it's feel good stuff. It's not the true word of God. Even most Christians aren't being really encouraged in the word of God. Man, people in an effort to be compassionate towards people that have a problem, they actually lower themselves to that level and get down there and think like them and tell them it really is bad. You know, I'm thinking of a situation right now about Ashley and Carly Terdez. I don't know how many of you remember their story, but their little daughter, Hannah, was miraculously healed of an incurable disease where she was 3.5 years old when I met her. And they had never been able to give her solid food. They had to give her pureed food. She couldn't eat anything that wasn't just in a liquid form. And after 3.5 years, she was only the size of a 9-month-old child. She was dying. And over the last few months, they had put a feeding tube in, and all she could take was these solutions that the doctors gave her. She had been in the hospital, and the doctors released her to say that she was going to die. And that there was nothing they could do. Anyway, that's when I'm in her. But the point I'm trying to make is that, see, they had been told every time they went to some Christian to get prayer or something and they told them about how bad this situation was, every single minister just nearly cried with them and said, "This is terrible. And, oh, this is so bad. Oh, we feel so sorry for you." And they tried to show compassion and love towards Ashley and Carly. And see, most people think, well, that's good. That's not what they needed. They needed help. They didn't need somebody to get as defeated and discouraged as they were. When they brought their little daughter, Hannah, to me, I'm not saying this because I'm superior. I'm just saying it's because I've been in the Word and because I was believing God. We were in a little creche room in the back, and they sat down and on this little DVD, you could see Carly and Ashley talk about this whole thing. Carly just says it's like they just go, bleh. They spewed out all this stuff that had been going on in their life for 3.5 years and told me how bad it was, that the doctors had sent their daughter home to die. They painted this hopeless picture. And you know what turned their life around? I just listened to it and I said, that's a piece of cake for Jesus. No big deal. Everybody else had been overwhelmed, overcome, because they were more plugged into what the world has to say than what the Word has to say. They were thinking only humanly about the whole thing. When they heard somebody that had a different take on it, said, that's a piece of cake for Jesus, no big deal. Ashley and Carly both just said that, man, their faith went through the roof, that they just believed God. And they saw this tremendous miracle. Their daughter was miraculously healed. That's now been 7 years ago. They finished our school in the UK. They came over to the U.S. They now run our third-year program. And Hannah is just a happy little 10-year-old girl running around. And, I mean, it's just amazing to see what happened. And you know how it happened? Because I had taken the Word of God, and the Word of God was more real to me than what a doctor had to say, than the helpless situation that I was looking at. And I'm saying, if you're going to fulfill God's will, it's one thing to know it's God's will to heal. It's another thing to start moving in that direction and maybe start praying for it and asking God and speaking the Word and doing things. But if you are going to see the end results, if you're going to see life instead of death, you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Word the way that David did right here. Anybody can quit when things get hard. Anybody can give up. And did you know what? Most people won't condemn you for it. I don't think you should be condemned, but most people not only would not condemn you, they would say that something's wrong with you if you don't act that way. Even most Christians get mad at you when you start talking about that you can overcome in every situation. They believe that you should be preaching failure and preparing people for defeat and stuff. I'm telling you that you can encourage yourself in the Lord, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John chapter 5. You can overcome anything that's come against you, but it's going to start right here in the way you think. You're going to have to start encouraging yourself in the Lord. You're going to have to resist this discouragement. If you are going to fulfill God's will, you not only got to be pointed in the right direction and start taking steps in that direction, but then you're going to have to be able to overcome some obstacles that have been put in your path. And if you just cave the first time that you have problems, you aren't going to see the end of the thing being better than the beginning thereof. I'm telling you, it takes some effort. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, this is a passage of Scripture that the Lord used to call me to start our Charis Bible College. It's a long story. I won't go into the whole thing. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's telling Timothy to take the things that he had heard from Paul among many witnesses and commit to faithful men and women who would be able to teach others also. And then he said this in verse 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, I have preached on this for over an hour and a half at a time. But this is powerful. Most people, most Christians today are being influenced by our society more than our society is being influenced by the church. And most Christians today have become politically correct. They've become touchy-feely. They've become so in touch with their emotions that when something goes wrong, they just fall apart like a $2 suitcase. Did you know that the Lord here is saying that you need to take the Word and commit it to faithful men and women? And what are some of the characteristics of faithful men and women? He uses the example of a soldier, that you're going to have to toughen up. You're going to have to get to where you don't let things bother you. And I know that this flies in the face of our society. Well, you're just aren't in touch with your feelings. You're in denial. I don't deny that problems exist. I don't deny that sometimes I have discouragement and things come against me, but I do deny that any of these things can conquer me. I believe that he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world, and I am absolutely in denial that I'm going to fail. God has called me to win. God has called me to be an overcomer. God has placed His Word on the inside of me. I have an anointing from God, and I can guarantee you I will overcome anything that the devil forms against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. I am in absolute denial that I am going to be defeated and overcome. I am not in denial that there are problems out there. I'm not in denial that sometimes those things bother me, but I am not going to let what bothers me control me. I'm going to build myself up and encourage myself in the Lord. See, that's being like a soldier. You've got to be tough. You know, I remember seeing this movie, Saving Private Ryan, and there was a lot of good things that came out of that. I'm not critical of that movie except in just one thing. That as these guys were walking across the fields of France looking for Private Ryan, they got to talking about, you know, do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get homesick? Do you ever miss your family? Are you fearful that we're going to be destroyed? Now, I've been through war. I went through the Vietnam War. And I can guarantee you, soldiers don't talk that way. Now, they may today. I don't know, because again, our whole society has changed a lot of things. But when I was in the Vietnam War, you didn't talk about your feelings. It's like if you ever opened up that floodgate, you'd never be able to stop it. You didn't sit down and just ask somebody, are you feeling okay today? Soldiers don't do that. We would not have walked across there and say, do you miss your family? And start, you know, if you open up that floodgate, it's like breaking a dam, punching a hole in a dam. Once you punch a hole in a dam, that whole thing's going to go. And, you know, soldiers, I had emotions when I was in Vietnam, but we didn't sit around and indulge them and talk about them. A soldier just has to toughen himself up, and he has to do what he's called on to do, and it doesn't matter how you feel. You do what you got to do. And I tell you, if you are going to fulfill God's will, you're going to have to get some of these attitudes that I've been talking about today. You're going to have to learn this lesson from David, and you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I know some people, well, I just can't do that. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 28, talking about speaking in tongues, it says, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. You put that together with Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says that you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in tongues, it's like flipping a switch and turning on the power of God. If you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, then I can have compassion on you, but I don't pity you because you have the ability to encourage yourself in the Lord and you just aren't using it. If you don't have that baptism of the Holy Spirit, as you call in and request these materials, ask for one of our prayer ministers to share with you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They'll be glad to do it. And you can receive that.
In today's teaching, Andrew mentioned Hannah Terades, a little girl from England, dying from a debilitating disease, now experiencing abundant life. We invite you to join the Terades family as they take a healing journey that has transformed their lives and the lives of people around the world. It's Hannah's story. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left under Extras and click on Healing Testimonies. Then click on the Hannah Terades story. It's a healing journey you'll never forget.
Need to get out of town? Hit the road? The trail? Why not make plans now to join Andrew in Colorado Springs July 1st through the 5th for the Summer Family Bible Conference? It's a week of awesome praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc and Karis Bible College School of Worship Director Daniel Amstetz. No-nonsense teaching by Andrew Woman.
God has laid this on my heart. I believe I'm going to say some things that are going to encourage you and help bring you out.
Plus messages from Karis Bible College instructors and World Outreach Director Wendell Parr. There's a barbecue at the Sanctuary Pavilion and events for the whole family to enjoy. The 2013 Summer Family Bible Conference, July 1st through the 5th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. Then click on the Summer Family link to pre-register your family. We'll see you here July 1st through the 5th at the Pikes Peak Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the 2013 Summer Family Bible Conference.
I refuse to let anything stop me from finding God's will for me because, you know, it's my life.
Understanding what the Lord has for you is the most important thing that anyone can ever do here on earth.
I want to, you know, look back in my life as I'm ready to go and graduate to heaven and go, you know what, I've fulfilled what God had for me here on this earth. And I've always had that desire on the inside of me since I was born again, and I want to accomplish that. So it's a very, I don't know, critical for me to follow after God's will for my life.
Andrew's complete teaching titled How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. This teaching is also available in three separate companion study guides, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. They're perfect for home groups, Sunday schools, and for individual study. Not only are the entire teachings included in the study guides, you can also print off as many copies as you like when you download the PDF files from the included data CDs. Each of these valuable resources is available for a gift of $20 or more when you contact us. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today's audio teaching is titled Learn to Obey. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this CD free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned the healing testimony of Hannah Terades. Hannah's complete story is included on the Healing Journeys Volume 1 DVD, along with four additional healing testimonies. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.